my God. Amen. Well, hey, I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but without a doubt, it's going to be the greatest movie that you've ever seen. And I mean, I've heard that how authentic and how dynamic and how poised it is toward detail. It's just unbelievable. And it's going to be something every one of you are going to participate. You're going to want to see this movie. You know why? Because it's your story that's being told. It's your story that I'm talking about. We find this in Romans, the 14th chapter. We find it also over in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, quite honestly, chapter 5. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, judgment is a strong word, so whenever we hear that, we get a little tense. Judgment seat of Christ, but it's for all the believers. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will as a believer, then you're going to show up before God after death or after the rapture, and God's going to examine your life, every part of your life, every moment of your life, every word that came out of your mouth. You're going to make an accountability moment for that. As such, our sins are going to be forgiven. Now, we're going to be rewarded for everything that we've done on earth, good or bad, the things that we did, the things we did not do. It's an accounting of our lives. Now, I don't know why, but for me, it's always been a tense moment because you'll see, if you've ever seen these chick tracks, there's this one that says, "This was your life." And it just freaked me out. I got this track one time, and you just start flipping through it, and they got the Grim Reaper in there, and this guy dies, and he's there before the angels and everything, and I'm going, oh no, it looked like a movie. First movie I ever went to, my mom and dad took me there, so if you're real-time, old-time Pentecostals, you can blame it on my mom and dad, but took me to a movie. It was a drive-in movie, of course, we went up and played on the swings and everything while they were watching some movie, but that's how I pictured it. You're stand there with God, and we're going to look at this big screen comes up, and there's your story. And I'm just really hoping nobody else is there. Because there it is. And in all of its glory, it's going to be shown. And I don't know why, but I just always thought of that. A movie about my life. Scripture doesn't say that anybody else will see it. But I know that we need to come to grips with the possibility that we are going to be accountable for everything that has happened in our life. The failings that we had. But it's going to include the good, too. Everything about that. Not only the things that I did, but the things that I failed to do. So are you freaked out yet? Yeah, no. It's a piece of information, not a threat. But here's why that's so important. We've been talking about, this is actually the third week, we've been talking about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ. In the first Sunday, we talked about being a disciple. And then two Sundays ago, we talked about growing deep. And we're using the illustration of a tree. And the tree grows its roots deep into the ground, gets very solidly established in that ground. Out of that comes nutrition. And because of the seed and because of the roots that it establishes, now we can grow big. We can grow big. We can have branches and leaves and fruit and all this other stuff. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to get really founded in who He is and what His Word says so that you can grow up. You know, I mean, this secret, you know, who knows of a tree that grows underground? That's not cool. He wants you to grow big so that people can utilize you. But today we're going to talk about bearing fruit. Because when our story is told, when our movie is shown, will we indeed have any fruit to talk about? That's important. So let me tell you about this conversation between a farmer and his fruit tree. So here it goes. The farmer said, "Good morning. How are you doing today?" And the tree, by the way, farmers do talk to trees, okay? It's not because they're weird. You talk to your car, don't you? Come on, baby! I'm sorry. We talk to things, all right? So he's talking to this tree. And the tree says, "Just fine. Isn't it a lovely day?" Well, the farmer says, "Yes, except for one thing. Where is your fruit? I see all your nice green leaves, your sturdy trunk and roots, but where is your fruit?" And the tree responds, "Well, you notice I am the more firmly anchored than any other tree in the orchard. I have the most beautiful leaves to be seen anywhere. I have no broken, sagging branches or scuffed marks from the worker's shoes from climbing on my trees." The farmer said, "Well, that's well and good, but I planted you for the purpose of bearing fruit, not to look pretty and preserve yourself. What if all my trees had your attitude? Why have you not produced any fruit?" So the tree responded, "I tried bearing fruits a few years ago. Some of the beautiful fruit that I worked so hard to produce fell to the ground and it rotted. The odor was terrible. My limbs would bend and sometimes often break in the effort. My whole system was under stress. It was all one tree could stand. And then the workers came and they climbed my tender limbs and snapped my branches. To top it all off, I produced more fruit than any other tree in the orchard, and I didn't even get a thank you. No, I am content to stay right here and leave the fruit bearing to some other tree. After experiences like that, what do you expect? The farmer said, I expect you will make beautiful logs for the fireplace this year. So as comical as that is, it really hits more to the heart of what Jesus is trying to encourage us to do as being fruit bearers. This brief conversation with the farmer and the tree, and also the words of Jesus in John the 15th chapter, reminds us that fruit bearing is not the exception, it's the expectation. It's not the acceptance. It's not the rare person that does it. It's not the rare tree that bears fruit. But it should be the expectation of everyone who follows Christ to bear fruit. Let me take you to John the 15th chapter. I can just see this as Jesus is probably walking with his disciples, because this is in between when they had the Last Supper and when he is going, to the vineyard. And I mean, I should say to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, today we're going to have communion in just a little bit. So somewhere between where they had the Last Supper and walking, Jesus is teaching them. And as he does, I can just see him leaning down, maybe getting the vine, and here's all the branches, and talking as he walked, because he often illustrated things that just made sense. These were people of the land. They knew what it was to have a vine and to have branches and to have fruit. They knew what it was to have to go and fish and eat that night. They knew what it was to work hard off the land and to live with others' people. John the 15th chapter. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So abide in me and I in you. For as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So here's what we glean from what Jesus said. First of all, he is the vine, we're the branches. So we have to learn what our function is. He is the source. He's the vine. This is where things are taken and they're fed into the branches. Really, quite honestly, we're just a conduit. He's the power of source. He goes through us, and then there's the fruit on the other side. The person that gave the message in tongues today was just being used of God as a conduit, as a source, to deliver what he wanted to be said. Every branch that does not bear fruit is taken away. If we're not bearing fruit, then we are no use to God. Isn't that a horrible way to put it? Because I know that we all have usefulness to God. It's not that he just says, well, that was good. That's not, get out of here. No, it's not we're rejected. We are not used because we did not bear fruit. Every branch that bears fruit is pruned so it can bear more fruit. You know what? Sometimes we get this image, getting in Christ, getting in church, being a Christian. Everything's going to go much better. But the Bible says that he's going to prune us. God's going to take us through some moments that are going to be pretty difficult. Why? Why? So he can put us down, so he can back us off, so he can put us under duress? No, so that we can do better. I don't know if you've ever been someone who's worked out with weights or whatever, but the Bible in weightlifting says, no pain, no gain. If you're not going to bust a little sweat, if you're not going to put a little muscle equity into this thing, you're not going to get any stronger. And that's what Jesus is talking about. We cannot bear fruit without him. What does he say? Without me, you can do nothing. And we forget what it says over Matthew, the 12th chapter. We are known by our fruit. We recognize an apple tree because there's apples coming off it, orange because there's oranges. We know a tree by its fruit. You are known by what you produce. So you better watch out what comes out of your mouth. Better be careful what comes out of your life. Now that sounds like a threat. Obviously it's not, but we sometimes need to be reminded that we can excuse a little bit four-letter words every now and then, but that's a part of our fruit. We can blow it and, you know, blow a gasket and get angry every now and then, and we just go, "Wow, I'm just Irish. I don't know why the Irish get so blamed for that." Or you're redheaded. Well, you can dye your hair red and you still get the same result, but you're still angry, you know? So let's quit worrying about that and bear the right kind of fruit. So let me give you some expectations of the fruit that God wants us to be bearing. Because if you're like me, I like to see it, I like to know, and I like action steps. Tell me what I need to do. Well, let me take you to the action fruits. I like it when I see things happen. You can tell that things happen. We went down to Florida. There was a house there that all of the sheetrock for all purposes is pretty much gone. When we left this house, not only had sheetrock, it had brand new paint, it had trim, it had new doors in it. I mean, you could see the transition in a hurry because some action had happened in that place. Well, one of the first things is leading others to Christ, leading others to Jesus Christ. Now, when I say something like in the church where we get all pressured because we feel like we're supposed to visit somebody, tell them about Jesus, lead them in the sinner's prayer, and they have to come to church and all this other stuff, listen, that would be the perfect, wonderful picture. That would be awesome if it happens. But leading to someone to Christ is leading someone to Christ. How do you lead someone to Christ? You give them an example that they can follow. Give them someone that is leading them. You see, our job is to tell them about Jesus. It's his job to save them. But too often we assume that it's my job to be the vine, remember? He said, "No, I'm not. I'm the vine. You're the branches." So just leading them to Jesus, because you know what? Apple trees produce apples. Christians produce Christians. So that's what we need to do. The second one is giving. Giving of ourselves and giving of our stuff. So if you're a Christian and you're not a giver, there's something wrong with that picture. I love this quote that I found. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can't love somebody without giving them your heart, your time. Hey, forget the resources, because that's what we're worried about. Are they after my wallet? You know, I've fought forever. I've been here 17 years. And I listen, the church needs money to exist. But you know what? All I want to encourage you to do is just be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. He tells us about the tithe in the Bible. He tells us and encourages us about offerings. But I am not going to beat you over the head with a sermon or anything else about your money, because that's between you and God. But you know what? You can't be a great person bearing fruit for Jesus Christ and not being a giver of yourself and of your stuff. The next one I love, because Scripture is so supportive of it, is thanksgiving and praise to God. Thanksgiving and praise to God. Listen, a bitter Christian is an oxymoron. And I like that word, oxymoron, especially the moron part. Bitter Christian. I love Jesus, but I sure am hacked off at the world. I don't understand that. Listen, I understand we have tense moments. You know, we're not perfect, but good grief. Slap a smile on there every now and then. Get a little giddy up in your step. You know, be a little happy. It's okay to do that. Don't be animated. Everybody knows when you're faking it. But you know, be original. Be genuine. This is what God's done in your life. Hebrews the 13th chapter says, "Is therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." Listen to this. "That is the fruit of our lips." The fruit of our lips. "Giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Another thing is pleasing God. You know what? I found out a long time ago that my dad was pretty happy with me when I did things that made him look good. When I did the right thing, when I obeyed the law, especially it was his law. Boy, it was a long list. My dad should have been a Pharisee. He really should have. But, you know, it made him proud. He was excited about those things. And pleasing God is like doing the right thing. And not only doing the right thing, but doing the godly thing. I mean, God just loves it when you do what he's asked you to do. Not because you're trying to make somebody else happy, the church happy. No, it's because you want to bless him because of what you're doing in your own life. Colossians 1:10 says this, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now here, those are action fruits, if you will. Let me give you a couple of attitude fruits, okay? Attitude. We love that word, attitude, don't we? because we've had a lot of experience with attitude, haven't we? So let's talk about some good, godly attitude fruits. Let me take you to Galatians, the fifth chapter, because this is more about your person instead of your performance. This is a more about what comes out of you than what you just do. I heard one preacher say this one time. He says, it's what I is, not what I is doing. I had to think about that just for a second, and then it kicked in. Attitude fruits. Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, love, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I've heard it said, actions without the proper attitude is only legalism. You know what that means? Let me explain that to you. I never talk about driving or traffic or my driving habits, so let me just give that to you once and for all. It's not about doing the law. It's embracing the law. It's not about I got to go 55. I want to go 55 because it's the speed limit, and I believe in the law of the land. Please don't follow me around in my car, because then I'll have to preach on forgiveness and imperfections, all right? You know, so I want to please God, not because I have to, but I want to. You know the coolest thing? And my wife is here. My granddaughter is too, because I heard a little while ago, she goes, uh-oh. So I know she's here. Every time I come home, I want my wife to go, you know, he's not here because he doesn't have anywhere to go. He's not here because he has to. He's not here because he's the pastor, and you know, a divorce wouldn't look good on his record. He's here because he loves me. He's here because he cares. He's here because he's committed to this family. He showed up because I am the number one priority in his life right after God. That's what I hope that she understands. And that's the person that I want to be. Number two, if you have the right attitude, the right actions will follow. A lot of times we try to curb our lives. We try to do the right thing. We try to discipline our bodies without the attitude. Let me tell you, the attitude will take you to the right action every time. If you have the right attitude, you do the right thing. You're not going to have to search for the, I better say thank you, or I should do this, or I should do that. It'll show up because your attitude went before it. The third thing is, how do you get this right attitude? Because there's a lot of people that they never step out of the physical world into the spiritual world. They never step out of the natural into the supernatural. God has something so dynamic for you in the supernatural, in the spiritual world. And it's in that area, in that arena of the fruits of the Spirit, that you're going to find yourself extremely blessed. So we step into that. Because just a few verses after Jesus, through Paul, tells us about the fruits of the Spirit, he says this, since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Listen, everybody knows when they're not bearing fruit. It's obvious. Everybody knows when they're doing the right thing and they are bearing fruit and they're living the right word, the right kind of life. Also obvious. My concern is for those of us who think we're bearing fruit. There's a lot of leaves out there. Good sturdy trunk. We got some pretty good roots. We assume that we're producing a lot of things. But the only way that we'll really know that, getting back to the reason we've been on this series of sermons, is if we 100% commit ourselves to being a disciple. See, a lot of people don't know it, but they commit percentagely. They commit a little bit. It's a gradual commitment. It's an every now and then commitment. It's a Sunday night, Wednesday commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be something that we do every day, every place we go, every word that comes out of our mouth needs to be an exposure to that. Listen, we're all customers. We're all consumers of utilities, of our water and electricity, the medical care that we have, post office. It's okay if they just give you 99%. Is that right? Let me see. How many of you would say, that's okay if I get 99% of that? See, you're scared to raise your hand. And I understand, because you go, what kind of question is that? Well, if it's okay to just give 99%, for them to just give us 99% efficiency, then this is what would happen. Every day there would be no electric service for at least 14 minutes if it was only 99%. 1.7 million pieces of first-class mail would be lost every day if our postal service only were 99% efficient. And you go, well, they must be in their 50s. I understand this is an illustration. Okay, just flow with me here. 200,000 200,000 people would get the wrong drug prescription every day. Wow, that's pretty powerful right there. It starts getting to get work me home. 2 million people would die from food poisoning every day if we had those kind of statistics. It's 99%. That's pretty close. But you see, Jesus wants you to be a 100% dedicated to Him, following Jesus Christ, disciple. And as such, powerful, fruitful things are going to come out of your life. You're going to find the foundation of a root system that you didn't know was there, but it's going to cause you to be strong when the storms of life hit. You're going to find that God's going to encourage you and allow you to grow bigger. And next thing you know, fruit's going to start being produced. And the cool thing is that fruit is going to happen to your family and your friends in this community. And God is going to be very, very proud. So how do we do that? We trust God and bear fruit. You can't do it opposite left. You can't try to bear fruit. You can do things in your own effort. You can chunk a $100 bill at a guy down at the stop sign with a cardboard poster. That'll make you feel good for the moment. But what God wants is you to trust Him, love Him, give Him your heart. And out of that, whatever fruit begins to show up, then it'll be cool. And that's what He wants you to do. So are you writing the script for your movie right now? How's your movie coming along? Because one of these days, you and if nobody else, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father are going to look at that thing, and we're going to look and see what our fruit looked like. Amen? You bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the men who are going to help us serve communion if they'll go ahead and come forward. They'll begin to get the trays set up and begin to distribute them as soon as they do. But while they're doing that, would you mind just with your heads, you're bowed, they'll get your attention when the trays come. But will you just look over your life just for a second? Because it doesn't take very much to rehearse that movie moment, does it? It doesn't take much. And I'll tell you how you can do it. If you're needing some assistance here, let's do this. Take the last 5 days of your life. Walk back through Saturday and Friday and Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday and ask yourself, what is the sum total of the fruit that I bore through those 5 days? What does that look like? Was there anybody blessed by my fruit? Was there any fruit at all to speak of? What were the fruits look like? Was there a time that I really look back and kind of wish I could have done that moment over? Is there a time in these last 5 days you wish you could have gone back and said, I wish I'd have never looked at that. Wish I'd have never told that joke. Wish I'd have never lost my anger. Listen, you know what? I love the bumper sticker I saw a long, long time ago. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. You see, Paul instructed us in taking communion, which is what we're doing right now, distributing these little vials of juice, which represent His blood, little wafer that represents His body. Paul instructs us, he said, take that moment and examine your life. Take a few seconds and just look over your life. And if there's anything that's not pleasing to the Lord, then ask Him to forgive you. If there's something that's bothering you, if there's something that you just need to take care of. And here's the crazy thing. Actually, it's not crazy at all, but you see, it doesn't have to have a label that it was horrible, that it was mean. It doesn't have to be something that would be criminal. It's just something that you know that just displeased God. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, there may have been a moment in those last 5 days that God really encouraged you to pick up your Bible, thumb through those pages, read about Him. So He could tell you something that you really needed to hear. Maybe there was a couple of times during that week that you found yourself just too busy to pray. You thought it would just be easier to hang on to your own schedule than maybe even attend church, hold your wife or your husband's hand, pray before you go to bed, whatever your routine is. Maybe there was a time that God said, you know what, you remember so-and-so? Why don't you pick up the phone and give them a call? Won't that'd be a pretty powerful fruit. Maybe go and visit a sick friend. That's amazing what God wants to do, amen? And those are powerful things. You see, you don't have to go to Florida and work hard on a house for 5 days and come back tired to feel like you've done something powerful for God. If you can, praise the Lord. But that should be the addition to your fruit, not your fruit. We got another missions trip to Belize in July. Are you going to be any more spiritual because you get on a plane and go to Belize, hand out Bibles? I hope not. I hope you'll be bearing fruit before you can get there. That's the power of the gospel. Right now, before we take communion, if the Lord wants to bless you and touch you, would you be open to that? If there's a need in your body, I love this aspect of communion. I've heard so many times that people have had a need in their body. They've had a doctor's report that wasn't the one that they wanted to embrace. And they began to just in the context of remembering who Christ was and what he did, they asked, God healed. Because that's what God does. He's listening to your heart right now. So will you just ask him for whatever you need? Will you just ask him for that moment of blessing? It's okay. You realize it's not selfish. God didn't say, come unto me because you're selfish. He said, come unto me because you need me and because I want to bless you. You see, God's not holding anything back, and he wants you to not hold anything back either. Thank you, Jim. Is there anyone in this sanctuary that you've not been served yet? Would you just get our attention by your hand raised and amen. Thanks, Steve. I'll just take this so I can go and get my own. Did you get something yet? Okay, bye. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. In case you're a little unnerved because things just kind of slow down and kind of get quiet, can I just tell you, in those 5 days I asked you to look for, how many times did you just say under your breath, whatever, man, I wish the world would just stop. Just stop this crazy ride and just let me slow down. I'm so tired. I'm wore out. I just need a little peace. Need God to show up. Need to know his love. Need everything to work out. Here's your moment. And God does something like this so that you can take it and not only preserve it for this moment, for your next time of need. Don't be surprised if the next 5 days, God brings you back to this moment and he reminds you. Remember at that church? Remember where we were doing communion together? I was speaking to your heart, telling you how much I love you and that I really care. And I want you to hold on to this. Just seize this moment, if you would. Hold on to it because God is always going to be there. You see, our world changes. His doesn't. Our world gets busy. He's never too busy. We get weary. He never gets weary. We get away from him, but he's never left us. In the privacy of this moment, he just wants to bless you and touch you. Has everyone been served on the platform? The Bible tells us that Jesus was with his disciples and he took the bread and he broke it and he passed it to them. And he told them a lot of things that night. But then he finished and he said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. This isn't so that I can just remember that it happened. This is so that in the moment that you really need him, like a moment like now, that you'll remember this is about him. I'm telling you, all of us have fallen so short when we've worked to try to figure out a situation to make something different happen. And only Jesus, sometimes in a matter of seconds, when we've worked for weeks, resolves our deal. We do this in remembrance of who he is, but more importantly, what he can do. Amen? If you're a born-again believer, you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you've surrendered your sins to him, then you are worthy of observing Holy Communion. Holy Communion. This is a holy moment. There's a lot of things we do in church that are fun. You know, the songs might be exciting, but this is a holy moment. So preserve it as such. Would you, Father, I ask you to bless this bread that represents the body of Christ. As I consume it, Lord, may I consume all that you are. May I be changed by the power of who you are. May I be literally just full of your words and your wisdom and your spirit and your power and your might. And may I experience your forgiveness to the full. In Jesus' name, bless this bread to my body. Amen. Will you take it with me together? A powerful transition took place between when Jesus took that bread and broke it and when he actually went to the cross. But in the same setting, he took a cup that had wine in it and he passed it to his disciples. He said the same words, "You do this in remembrance of me, that you would drink this wine." Because this wine, much like the bread, represents his body. This wine represents the blood that he shed for us. I know that in the context of just that mentioning that, you can be in church so long that communion becomes just another thing that we do. But we need to be reminded the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power. It has the power to forgive you of your sin. You may not have the power to forgive all of the things that you've done. But Jesus says this, our God is so mighty and he's so strong and he cares so much that he has chosen to forgive. Come on, we know that God doesn't let him forget anything, but he chooses to forget what you did because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Embrace the forgiving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of you who have an issue in your body, this is a part of what we call the atonement. Those are maybe church words, but what it means is that in that single act of dying on the cross, Jesus didn't just die and shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven, but that blood was so that your fractured relationships could be mended. He did that so that your broken heart and your diseased heart can be healed. Much more than just that, but he does this in so many. Sometimes you put God in a little box. This is just about my sin. No, it's about your life. And today, as we take this little vial, this little cup of grape juice that represents his blood, let it do its full work in you, because that's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. Hey, this is always going to be grape juice, but I'm always going to be forgiven because of what he did on the cross. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lift up this cup to you, we ask again your blessing on it, but more importantly, on what it represents. Jesus Christ died, slain on the cross, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and said, I will send my Holy Spirit to come back with you. And the next great event that we look forward to is his physical return to earth. But after he comes in the rapture and collects us. So we ask you, O God, may we embrace this symbolic portion of your blood as this is applied to our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take it together. Praise your name, O God. Amen. If you're ever lost and you don't know what to do, there's some little holders right there in your pew. You can put those in. We'll collect those later. Would you stand with me? And as much as you're comfortable doing so, would you please just take the hand of the person next to you? As you're doing that, I just want you to know that whether you know them well or not, whether you just know their name, or maybe you've just met them today, and because of this wonderful thing, the preacher asked you to hold their hand, which may be a little awkward because you just don't know them. But today, the reason that I don't want you to do that is because you know what? We need to be reminded, and I do this often, that we're never alone. We're never alone. I like it when somebody shows up and I can hear their voice and I can see their lips move and I can shake their hand. That tells me they're there. I'm not alone. But there have been countless nights that although Debbie was right there beside me in bed, the kids are in the other room. Sometimes you just feel all alone. You just feel like it's just you and the world. And then you can remember, oh no, it's me and Jesus. I had this whole thing turned around backwards. I was at Troy State one time. I never felt so lonely in all my life. I felt like all I got was four walls, me and Jesus. And Jesus said, that's right. What more do you want? I felt a little convicted in my heart, but all of a sudden everything changed because Jesus was reintroduced into that circumstance. Father, we hold hands today simply as a symbol of reminding us that we are not in this thing alone. And God, I love the fact that this is above and beyond just you promising to be with us. That's a great start. It's a perfect start. We should never leave that. But thank God I'm in a church where I will never be alone. There are going to be people here to just have my back. They're going to love me. They're going to help with me. They're going to share me. And Father, we get to share you with them. So I pray to the Father, if as we leave today, the remainder of our day would just be filled with wonderful moments of reminding ourselves of who you are and what you do. And as such, Father, will you send us out of here bearing a whole lot of fruit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of our service today. You've been a fabulous crowd. God bless you. May God bless the rest of your day.